Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Hey, friends, and welcome. I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy that you're here to find hope for healthy parenting with us. And we are talking about 52 habits for healthy parenting. And so every week we are introducing a new habit. And this week's habit is playing together. I want you to play with your families. It is so interesting the way that we look at research and how that impacts kids and how that impacts their mental health, their social health, their emotional health. It is just all kinds of good. And in a world that is really serious, where we are facing really real problems, you need to play together. So whatever you're going to do tonight, play with your kids. Just find a way to play. I would love for you to do that. And we'll be talking more about that on Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. But one of the reasons that we want to play together is because fear and anxiety rage in our world. These are words from my guest today, Christy Boulware. This is a weight we carry. It produces profound physical consequences. We're hustling, we're striving, our priorities are mismatched with our Savior's, and we're struggling to surrender our lives to His will. We believe our superwoman tendencies or our superparent tendencies are amazing when they are, in fact, alarming. What will it take to rock the boat enough to awaken our souls? A total nervous breakdown? Now, I'm reading from the description of Christy's book, and I recommend that you get it. It is called Nervous Breakthrough: Finding Freedom from Fear and Anxiety in a World That Feeds It. Christy is a speaker, she's an author, she's a founder and president of Fearless Unite. Now, I've had Christy on the show before, and she talked about her journey of a severe panic and anxiety disorder. Her fast-paced, highly driven, misprioritized life finally caught up with her, and it was really powerful. And actually, when I was doing the podcast, Christy's podcast was one of the most downloaded that we have had. And I think that's just because this issue, this topic, it resonates with our listeners, it resonates with our world. We're all feeling the stress of living at the speed of a smartphone, and it's really hard. And we wonder, like, okay, is this normal anxiousness? Is this just a new way of normal? So I encourage you to go back and listen to that episode if that is you, if you are struggling with anxiety, with mental health, because you can find freedom and fearlessness there. But today I've asked Christy back because she has a part two to her story, a part two after her book. And this is where she's starting a new podcast series called Resilience in the Pews, Tackling Anxiety and Church Wounds. And she's going to talk about some church hurt that she experienced. Now, I recognize this is a very tender topic for a lot of us, and this is something that really holds dear, because churches can be such a wonderful place of strength, of support, of hope, of optimism, and yet they can provide some of the deepest wounds that we feel. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Christy, welcome back to the show. We're so glad to have you.
Jessica, I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's just start by telling us about what is Fearless Unite and how you went through this journey of, you know, of mental health struggle, of an anxiety crisis, and you got through it. And, you know, what I find with so many of my guests and with my own story, Christy, is that we don't get cured from it. We're not completely healed, but we do find hope and healing along the way. And you wanted to share this with other women by starting a parachurch ministry. So tell us about Fearless Unite.
Yeah, the parachurch ministry started under the name of Fearless Women in 2016, and it was born out of just this deep pain that I endured walking through severe panic and anxiety disorder, as you mentioned. And, you know, it's interesting because I thought it was just going to be this monthly support group for women dealing with fear and anxiety, but God, we quickly outgrew that support model. And hundreds and hundreds of women started coming to these meetings. And it it was an obvious thing that we hit a nerve in our community with women struggling with fear and anxiety. And so I deeply feel that you can't heal from fear and anxiety with just one meeting. And that was a tension that was weighing on me as a leader. Although I loved like pouring into women monthly with these extraordinary meetings that we were having, I knew that lasting life transformation wasn't going to happen in our current, like the current model that we were doing. So I believe, Jessica, that we have a mental health crisis in our world today because we have a discipleship crisis. So we slowly transitioned away from these huge monthly meetings to more intimate settings so we could disciple people better. So me and the Fearless team, we started writing these Bible studies around topics that cause fear and anxiety that we call impact resources. And the whole goal is to help these people grow deeper in their faith within a community setting while studying God's word. And we also started doing retreats as well. And what I'm really excited about it is we're working now on a mental health advocacy movement called Soul Shepherd. And this is going to be targeted to teen girls who are dealing with fear and anxiety. And we've rebranded our ministry now. It's not called Fearless Women anymore. It's called Fearless Unite. And the whole mission is to help you overcome fear and anxiety in a world that feeds it.
And that is something that is so very needed, because I think especially you and I have talked about this before, in church and faith-based communities, there can be more shame and stigma associated with mental health because you're just thinking like, what's wrong with me? Isn't my faith strong enough? You know, the Bible says, do not be anxious. And that is, you know, an incomplete look at that verse. And we have talked about that before, but I want to pause for a moment and talk about para-church ministry. Now, this may be a new term for some people, and parachurch ministries are great. American Family Association is a parachurch ministry, like Focus on the Family and Fearless Unite. But let's describe it, and how is it distinct from, but it can complement the local church?
You know, Jessica, I believe we're most effective for Christ when the entire body is engaged and participating using their spiritual gifts to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to this whole world. And the local church has an incredible opportunity to partner with called, spiritually mature, and anointed men and women of God to run this race of faith together. And the little C church, or you know, your local assembly, cannot do everything on its own, and it shouldn't have to. So when the local church partners with individuals who are called to minister to a specific group of people, we can reach more people for Christ. And, you know, typically I think that people think, you know, a mission field is overseas. But I believe my mission field is right here in my backyard, reaching people for Jesus that are struggling with their mental health. And I've found that many struggling with mental health, like you just mentioned, are not interested in coming to church or have been shamed by the church because of their mental health issues or struggles. And so a parachurch organization aims to support churches, come alongside churches, complement churches by offering expertise in areas where individually they might not have the resources to excel independently. So Fearless Unite, our organization, transcends denominational and international borders, and we deliver specialized discipleship specific to overcoming fear and anxiety.
Well, and that's great, because there are some people who really desire to recover from whatever that is. It may be mental health. Some other ministries that I've seen are divorce care or addiction or things like that. And people want to recover in the context of a faith-based community as part of their discipleship journey. But sometimes, just like you said, that's not available in the local church, or people may have been hurt by the local church and they may not go to a church, but they may go to this ministry and, you know, then be connected to a local church in the context of their healing journey. Now, obviously, Christy, there was a demand for this, because you had people coming on board saying, yes, I want to walk in community with people who love Jesus and who struggle with anxiety. How do we find healing together? And you had an experience where you went to the pastor of your church at the time, and you were eager to partner this parachurch ministry that was taking off with your local church, but the response was not what you expected, Christy. So I want you to take us to that moment and describe what happened then and how it impacted your journey in the months after.
I mentioned at the top of this interview that part of our programming was called Impact Groups. And these were fear and anxiety video Bible studies that you could take with other groups of women that were written and produced by our Fearless team. And we were putting these groups out into the community, and people were finding freedom from fear and anxiety. I mean, it was extraordinary. And then I got called into the pastor's office. It was actually my husband and I, and this was early 2017. And we were just blindsided because he explained many big ideas to us, but there were several that really I want to just kind of zone in on right now. He explained that God's work must be done God's way, and this comes from 2 Samuel 6. And Azu, I believe is how he says it, with the Ark of the Covenant, he communicated to us that Azu died for doing things the wrong way. And so it insinuated that we weren't doing things God's way. And he said, God's work must be done God's way. And even if you're doing it for the right reason, but the wrong way, you can still hurt people. So we were very confused by what he was trying to communicate to us there. And then he went on to say that parachurch is not in the Bible, which that is true. And he let us know that he would not support us if we were going to compete with the church, and so that we needed to be doing something that they did not do as well. And if he was going to support us, it had to be under what he viewed as the proper biblical government. And the last thing that he mentioned, which was very concerning, was God works through authority. And he used verses John 10, 1 through 3, and verse 7. And I'm just going to read it. It says, then Jesus said to them, again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And he said these two points after that. God gives the senior pastor a flock, and the door in and out of that is through the pastor. And so my husband and I left that meeting feeling so conflicted and honestly controlled. We felt like we were doing something wrong and that we were being disobedient to his authority. And the long and short of it, Jessica, is we walked out several more in-person meetings with our pastor, and he eventually asked us to leave because he was not going to support the work that we were doing in our small group settings.
Now, I have to mention here, Christy, as part of your journey, I think this was particularly hard for you because it was where you found Jesus. This was the community and the church that brought you to the Lord, and you had had a really good experience there prior. Is that right?
Oh, it's absolutely true, Jessica, and it makes me emotional thinking about it because I did. I gave my life to the Lord in that setting from this particular pastor. He led me to Jesus and now was leading me away, essentially. So it was very, very, very difficult to process.
And, you know, I think this is going to be something that we're going to unpack here because I love the church, Christy. I know you love the church, too. And it's so important for us to engage with the local church. But the local church is broken. We are full of humans. And if you look back in the Bible, you see the entire book of Revelation, starting with letters to the churches, and you see so much of the New Testament is written to problematic churches. It's like, you know, they would get everything together, and then all of a sudden people would just stray, you know, from biblical principles. And that is something that we're facing today. And one of the concerning research that has come out recently, it was a study that found that only 37% of pastors have a biblical worldview. Now, that was shocking to me, Christy. Honestly, it was really scary. And I'm thinking, I'm a parent. So how do I do this? How do I help my children not to be cynical about engaging in church? How do I help them respond to hurt in a healthy way? And how do I find a healthy congregation that I can be a part of? Where is grace and where is truth and where is that line? And these are all things that we're going to talk about. And when we come back, I think one of the most inspiring things I know about your story, Christy, is that you didn't lose hope, even though you could have. And you also acknowledged where you were hurt, and where you could have helped, you know, where you got it wrong. And that was courageous to me. So do not go away, friends. We're going to hear more of Christy's story, and we'll talk about engaging our families in church when we come back. Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies. Daisy and her husband had decided they never wanted kids, and when she found out she was pregnant, she immediately thought abortion. But after she and her husband met her baby on ultrasound and heard the heartbeat, their hearts melted and they chose life. Her baby Jeffrey is healthy and beautiful, and Daisy and her husband can't even imagine life without him. Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day, Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to this really important conversation we're having with Christy Boulware. She is a speaker, an author, and a founder of and president of Fearless Unite. She's the author of Nervous Breakthrough, Finding Freedom from Fear and Anxiety in a World That Feeds It. And we have been talking about Christy's previous appearance on the show and talking about her journey with anxiety and how she found hope and healing. And then had another setback, a really significant just hurt from her pastor, from the church that she went to. Christy, how did you not lose hope and regress in your mental health recovery? What did you find that sustained you?
You know, I think it's important not to sugarcoat this. The pain of being kicked out of our church and being spiritually abused and manipulated by scripture, Jessica, it was brutal. I dove into a deep depression and a funk, and I questioned my calling in life. I wanted to completely give up on ministry altogether. I lost my voice, my confidence, and just direction in life through that experience. But you asked me, what sustained me? It was time to heal. That's what sustained me. We are conditioned to just jump right back into church, to be in church every single Sunday. And I believe that sometimes church can even be an idol for some. And we didn't jump back into the local body right away. We needed time to process our pain with Jesus and to seek wise counsel. And here's what I can tell you. Jesus met my husband and I in our pain, and we eventually found a local body to get reconnected again to.
I appreciate your honesty, Christy, because it does. There is something so just intimately painful about being hurt by a church, because when you have a pastor that you esteem and that you view as authoritative in God's word and, you know, knows more than you do, and then they call that out, that can be really, really difficult. But as parents, we really are called to discernment. And the truth is that spiritual abuse does happen. And we do have pastors that don't have a biblical worldview. Now, obviously, there are some who do. And for those people who have pastors that you say, I love my pastor, they are in the word, they are such good shepherds, encourage them. I'm just going to take a little time out here and say, encourage them, because at this point in time, pastors are in need of that. So if you are blessed with a wonderful pastor or priest or, you know, other church leader, make sure that you speak those words of life and encourage to them. That is really, really important. And, you know, I've heard you say something, Christy, that I think is so important, because it's a very tempting to just take a singular lens of victimization on this and to say, they hurt me, they were wrong, which those things are true. And then that's it. Like, just stop right there. And you acknowledged where you were legitimately hurt. And you had a therapy exercise about this that I actually want you to talk about. But you also acknowledged what you could have done differently. What did you learn on both sides of that? And what did it take to get you there?
You know, the situation felt like a divorce. It created an enormous amount of anxiety in me. I mean, I lost my church. I lost many of my close friends. And what wound up happening was I became obsessed with trying to figure out why God allowed this to happen. And I spent entirely too much time thinking about that and worrying about that, as if I could change it, right, Jessica? As if I could yeah. go back and make it better, as if I could, you know, try to do things differently. And the truth is, sometimes this stuff just happens. And I wish that I wouldn't have wasted so much time on trying to figure it out, because truthfully, that is just a sign that I was trying to control and not surrender. So that was one major thing that I did wrong and wasted a lot of my time and energy on. The other thing is I didn't seek counseling soon enough. It was sort of those superwoman Kate tendencies that you mm-hmm. said at the beginning. I thought I was good. I thought I was fine. I thought I can handle it. But, you know, I realized that being under that leadership for many years has wounded me deeply. And I think that we can become wounded sheep that wound other people if we don't seek healing quickly enough. And I was in danger zones of that. So I really needed to get into counseling sooner. And honestly, I'm still currently trying to disentangle myself from bad theology and also understanding what the role of the church plays in my life. And that runs really deep and takes a lot of time and, you know, specialization by a counselor that understands spiritual wounding and trauma. I also walked through the process of forgiveness too fast. And, you know, you might listen to that and be like, ooh, what is she trying to say? Like, that's crazy. As a Christian, you're supposed to forgive right away. Forgive, forgive, forgive. And, you know, it wasn't until I was working with a therapist where she said to me, Christy, you cannot forgive what you have not acknowledged. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa. Like, I was just trying to bypass all the pain and all the hurt and all the things that were said to me and over me and about me and slandered and gossip and the ripple effect of everything that took place within, you know, that spiritual abuse that I walked through, that I just wanted to quickly put a Band-Aid over it and be like, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. But it wasn't until I learned that there's four stages of forgiveness that really true forgiveness started working in and through me in my life.
Well, tell us what those four stages are.
Oh!
Pop quiz!
Okay, so the first is acknowledgement. You have to acknowledge pain. And so I had to sit down and write, this person said this, and it made me feel this way. And what's interesting, Jessica, is as you're working through it, you realize that there are other people involved in it. It was like, oh, because this happened, this person mm-hmm. also was involved, and then she, you know, and so you had to work through and acknowledge all of those things. Then it was more of like, okay, now you felt these things. Now what? What are you going to do mm-hmm. now with that, right? And then so then it moves into,
and what are you
like,
going to call it? How do you like name acceptance? That? Like, what do you name that emotion, right? You have to name that hurt then.
Yes.
Like say, okay, this is
yes.
my story, but this is how I feel. Like, I feel betrayed or I feel angry. Like, you have
correct.
To name that. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, it feels like just a jumbled up mess inside your head and you can't find freedom. Like, you really can't, because it yeah. just sits there and bubbles and festers. And there is power in naming your pain, naming the emotion, naming the thing that you feel. And so then there's the acceptance. Then there's the release of it.
Right.
You release it. And then you find purpose in it, which is kind of where we're at today. I'm able to be healed and whole, not giving up on the local body of Christ because I love it so much and believe in it so much, but also able to use that pain for purpose to help other people that have been spiritually abused and manipulated as well.
This is so important, Christy, because when you talk about, you know, it's not good for us to stay mired in that trauma and just relive it over and over every day. And you hear the phrase like time heals all wounds, which time is really important. Just like you said, time can heal all wounds if you are seeking healing during that time. But you have to seek those steps forward in that time. If you just sit and do nothing, you're not going to get anywhere. But I think it's so important to name that hurt and to think, what exactly did they do to me? And then when you forgive, you're not just saying, yeah, it was messy, it was awful, you hurt me, I forgive you. You're saying, I forgive you for betraying me. I forgive you for slandering me. You know, that's really specific, and that is really hard. And Christy, I know that your husband has been a really important part of this journey. And when I've heard you tell your story before, I was really struck by the time, you know, you're about to go and meet with the pastor. It feels like the adult Christian version of meeting with the principal, right? And it's not a good feeling. And you're going in there and you're anxious, but your husband prayed a simple prayer. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, he is such a wise man. Thank you for our men that cover and protect us. He is incredible. He basically just said, Lord, please show us what we need to see. And then he squeezed my hand, and I'm like, that's it? Is that
that's it?
Like, is that it? He's like, yep, that's it. But we just need to know what we need to see here, and that's it. And unfortunately, we saw some very damaging and destructive behavior. And that's all my husband needed to see in order for us to feel peace. Even though we were asked to leave and were essentially kicked out, he had peace in all of that because he knew that that was what we're supposed to do. That was the journey. That was what we needed, where we needed to be. And even though it was excruciating for me, my husband had enormous amount of peace in it.
I think that was so amazing and such a perspective shift because, you know, the truth is, as women, we tend to overanalyze things more. And I could just put myself in your shoes, leaving that and thinking of, you know, what the pastor said, and but what about this? And but what about this? And what if this? And you're thinking that, whereas your husband's perspective was just, hey, God answered our prayer. He answered my prayer. He showed us what we need to see. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt and that it's not messy, but you just, I feel like that's your secret, Christy. Like that's how you've held on to hope, because you just see those little moments where God is with you in that hurt and in that trouble. And, you know, honestly, I have experienced church hurt myself. I don't really think there's anybody who hasn't gone to a church and really engaged for a long period of time who hasn't experienced some sort of hurt at some point in their Christian walk, because again, we're not a museum for saints as a church, right? We're a hospital for sinners. Some years ago, we had a pastor who we were very close to and loved very much, but discovered that he was plagiarizing sermons from another pastor, like every Sunday, word for word, and had been doing this for a really long time. And when we found out, we just thought, God, why didn't we see this? How could we have been blinded? Like, how did we not see it? And I just have to trust that God works in ways that we don't understand. If we worshiped a God that was small enough to be understood, he wouldn't be big enough to be worshiped. And so sometimes I feel like we have to sit in those uncomfortable spaces and recognize that God is dealing with that pastor. God may be giving that pastor a path for repentance. And God can still work through flawed people, which is very true. But, you know, Christy, one of the biggest pressures of all of this is because we are stewards of our children's church experience. And I remember at that time, you know, my children were pretty young and we were pretty involved in what was going on. And I remember just praying, God, don't let their hearts be jaded. God, don't let them become embittered. You know, God, don't let them just walk away from how that is. And you're a mom. And you had young children during this. And so how did you steward your own children's experiences? And what encouragement do you have for other people who've been hurt and are just tempted to sit out, to give up? And you know, their children have watched this. How did you deal with that as a mom? Do we have you there, Christy? Okay, we might have lost Christy for just a second, but this is a very difficult thing that we have to do as parents, is to walk our kids through this. And all I can tell you, parents, is that it's so important to pray. If you don't do anything else, just pray. And pray that God would help protect them through that. And it's very difficult to decide how much you tell them, how much you don't tell them, what do you keep from them, what do you tell them. And there are going to be people in your life that you need to give you discernment in that moment, to give you wisdom in that moment, and to help you figure out what you're going to do, because this is really hard. But we do know that kids who go to church, kids who are engaged in a church experience, they have better health outcomes. They're less likely to be anxious. They're less likely to be angry. They are less likely to engage in risk-taking behaviors. There are just so many things that make them more healthy. And I'm just going to check with my engineer here and say, do we have Christy? No, I think we lost her for just a second. Okay, all right. I'm just checking with my producers there. This is the Joy of Life Radio. But you know, what I'm going to do right now while we're working on that is, I know that there are people who are listening right now who feel like, I have been deeply hurt. You just can't imagine what I experienced. And we know from reading the headlines, we know the pain that's been experienced by the Catholic Church. We know the pain that's been experienced in the Baptist Church, in the Methodist Church. There really is no denomination that is not untouched. And so what I'm going to do is end this segment together with some prayer. And I'm just going to pray for you. Dear God, I just lift up those of your children who have been hurt in the church community. God, I pray that you would just walk with them. I pray that you, we know you are close to the brokenhearted. We know that you are close to those who are crushed in spirit. We know that you are their glory and the lifter of their head. We also know that you are a God who restores. You are a God who renews. You are a God who gives beauty for ashes and restores years that the locusts have eaten. So God, if there are people listening who feel like locusts have eaten these years of my life and you're feeling bitterness, I just encourage you, friend, to take that step towards healing. Whatever that may be, reaching out for counseling, talking to someone about your pain, and thinking about re-engaging in the church. It's so important. We are designed to walk in community together. There is something so powerful about sitting in church with someone who, from all walks of life, and I can look across the sanctuary and I can see someone I know has been to the very threshold of hell and back, and they can sing, "It is well with my soul." That is so absolutely incredible. And you don't want to miss out on that. And you don't want your kids to miss out on that either. So when we come back, we're going to try to get Christy back, and we're going to talk about what hope we can find in Jesus despite the imperfections of the church. And we'll be right back. So don't go away.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back. We are talking a pretty sensitive topic, not one that can't be heard by little ears. In fact, one that should be heard by little ears, but in a way that parents are guiding that message. We're talking about, what do you do as a parent if you are hurt by a church? Now, our guest is Christy Boulware today, and we're having some technical issues getting her connected. We're having some issues with her connectivity. And so if you were listening to her and thought, what happened? Where did she go? We are working on getting her back. But in the meantime, I'm going to share with you some of the hope and the help that I have found, and why, even though we may be hurt, it's so important to heal and to re-engage. I shared in before the break that some recent research came out, really, honestly, I think breaking the heart of many pastors everywhere, that only 37% of pastors have a biblical worldview. And it is a tough time to be a pastor. I am not going to sugarcoat that in any way, shape, or form. I think it's been very, very difficult. And it is important for us as parents to have spiritual discernment and to find a pastor who has a biblical worldview and find a place where our kids are going to plug in and where we're going to be healthy. Now, it's important to know that no church is perfect and there is going to be conflict along the way. And I think as parents, we really need to search our hearts and feel like there's a lot of things that we do in our church attendance habit today that's based on convenience or preference. You know, we think, well, I don't really like that style of worship, or I really don't like the way that they do their small groups on this night of the week. And we kind of tend to hop around. But really, when we develop deep friendships with people who we are walking through life with, through some of the highest highs and the lowest lows, I really believe that God puts those relationships in place to give us comfort and to give us hope. And there are so many things that I have been through that I think, what would I have done without my church family when I thought my husband was having a stroke and we're in the emergency room, but my son broke his arm at the same time and I wasn't able to be with him? It was my worship pastor. It was our church friends who rallied amazingly. They ran to that bedside and they were there and they were giving me updates and they were picking up my other kids from school and somebody was cleaning my house and someone was bringing me food and all of those things. And listen, let me tell you, as a nurse practitioner, as a science-based professional, science is actually very clear on this. Faith traditions improve our health. So here are three reasons you need to consider going to church with your kids. First, spiritual rhythms strengthen families. Faith practices provide structure, they provide regularity, they provide predictability. And in a world that has gone crazy and chaos, kids need consistency in that chaos, and faith practices and going to church is a great way to create that consistency. Traditions are a shared sacred engagement. There's a collective time to rest and to celebrate. And it also improves your family dynamics and strengthens your family ties. So first, it strengthens families. Second, it improves your mental health, which is exactly what Christy and I were talking about today. And in a world where a literal national mental health crisis has been declared in children by the American Academy of Pediatrics, by multiple people, including the Surgeon General, and whatever your views are or whatever you agree with, I think we can all agree that kids are more anxious and depressed than they have ever been in any generation that we have known. And faith does improve your mental health. Faith reduces stress. It decreases our cortisol levels. It increases our dopamine levels. And it provides us with a cognitive framework to process trauma and pain. And when this cognitive framework is adopted in the context of healthy relationships, having those spiritual guidelines to live by causes kids to be less likely to adopt risk-taking behaviors. And spiritual disciplines like prayer, forgiveness, and gratitude, they make us live longer, they improve our heart health, they lower our stress, and they decrease the risk of depression, anxiety, and suicide. Faith also, this is the third thing, faith creates a sense of belonging. It can be a trustworthy source of safe social engagement. Those social connections around our shared faith traditions, like even potlucks, y'all know I'm a fan of a potluck, it creates a safety net for our kids. And a sense of community strengthens our own emotional health as their parents. Helping other people makes us more satisfied with our lives. So those are three reasons that are science-backed even to go to church. And listen, I get it. I know it can be really hard for a lot of families. Even the word church is an emotionally charged word because for some of us, it brings a sense of home, a place of comfort and joy, and where faith is forged. And for some, it's like it evokes this guilt and a vague unsettledness, like, I used to go, but I don't go anymore, and I don't really want to talk about it. And for some, it may evoke anger or pain or betrayal and the deepest sense of hurt, and you've just vowed never to return. But I am here to give you the truth that faith practices deeply impact our well-being. And it looks like we have Christy back. So Christy, welcome back. And we were just about, it's okay, it's the glories of tech, but we were just about to talk about how did you steward your own children's experience with them seeing you experience such deep pain? How did you steward that and guide them through it?
You know, in the first experience that I just shared with you, my children were much too young to understand what was going on. And maybe that was a provision from God that I didn't have to explain why we were asked to leave. But currently, our family is walking through kind of a new set of church challenges, and it's over the debate of the women's role in church. And our children are 16, 13, and 11, and they're very aware this time of what's happening. And the way my husband and I have handled this has been very truthful. We've been very truthful. I think sometimes as parents, we want to hide or shelter, but appropriately sharing with our children about what's going on, I think, is very healthy. And so we have been very truthful on what has transpired. We've not tried to hide anything. And here's the other great thing. We have opened up the Bible with them and taught them what's going on and what exactly are the scriptures that we are wrestling with together. I think sometimes as parents, we lean on our pastors or the youth pastor to lead and guide our children, but really it starts at home. So Troy and I have taken it very seriously to open up the Bible and teach our children these scriptures that we are navigating through. And what's so cool is my children have seen the fruit that is coming from Fearless Unite. They have seen how I've used my voice to lead and shepherd and teach not only women, but men as well, the good news of Jesus Christ. And because we've been open and honest with them, there has been a grace on this situation that can only be explained by God. As our family has navigated yet another church transition in our life. And, you know, I was really fearful that our transition was going to destroy our children. But instead, it has strengthened our bond as a family, and it's given us opportunity to have them study God's word for themselves. So ultimately, our transition out of our latest local church body was an act of obedience, Jessica. And my husband and I want to always model to our children that obedience will cost you something. And taking up your cross to follow Jesus is not easy. But I'm confident our children have seen that in our decision.
I think that's really encouraging. And that is something that my husband and I also did, just trying to find that balance of speaking truth and going to God's word, right? The ultimate source of truth, which is really important. And also showing them along the way trustworthy sources that we're going to, that we're, you know, being discipled by, books that we're reading, or other pastors that may be teaching or preaching on a, you know, more on a bigger platform, that we're saying, okay, this is a trustworthy source of information, but also recognizing that all humans are fallible and that we don't place our faith in a person except the person mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ. And I think one of the challenges my family had as we were growing up is that we went to the same church all when our kids were growing up. And I started to think, okay, my kids are going to think that this church is the church, you know, like that's it, and have trouble making those transitions. So one thing that we did actually was we made it a practice. We did travel a lot. And when we traveled, we made it a priority to find a church wherever we went. And it was a great exercise for my kids, because we'd say, okay, here's the internet. That's how you find a church today, right? Which I've heard Alex McFarland from American Family Radio. He's talked about that too, how people go to the internet. So this is a PSA that Alex made, is if you are looking at your church website, like, make sure it's easy for people to navigate. But we would send them to the website and say, okay, I want you to find a church for us to go to on Sunday. You need to look at their statement of faith, what they believe, you know, what their church is like, and where's a place that we can go. And we would go, and Christy, I'm telling you, it was one of the best parenting things I think that we've ever done.
That is fantastic.
Isn't that fantastic? I there are a lot of failures that I have. I can tell you all about those, but this is not one of them. I will gladly share about the success. But, you know, I think it gave them the perspective of being a visitor. What is it like when you walk in somewhere and you don't have community, that you're new? And what do you do when you hear something from somebody maybe you don't know that well, or that doesn't sound like it really resonates, or you're not sure if it's true? You're listening to a pastor for the first time. Like, how do you measure what they're saying? And I think that was so important for us. But anyway, that's what we did. But Christy, what hope can we find in Jesus despite the imperfections of the church? Because we know that, like I said, a significant portion of the New Testament is devoted to letters to the local church saying, get your act together. How do we find our hope in Jesus?
Oh, man, Jessica, when I read that question that you sent about, you know, the New Testament being devoted to the letters, a light bulb went off on me. I was like, yes, Paul wrote a lot about correcting the local churches in his time, you know? And the mark of a church is not perfection. It just can't be, because the church is made up of humans who are imperfect, including me and you, right?
Yeah.
So the hope is, we can't give up on a perfect God or the universal body of Christ, the bride, because the church is made up of imperfect people. And Jesus has proven himself faithful time and time and time again to me, even through all of this local church pain.
Well, and you know, I said in the break when we didn't have you here, Christy, I was talking about if you have a pastor that's great, you should really encourage them. And
yes,
I want to share some ideas really quick about that. Even sending a card is really great, because you can have that tangible affirmation. And I know of a pastor that received a card one time from parishioners, and he told me about how he put it on the refrigerator so that every day when his children went to the refrigerator, they would see those words of affirmation from the congregation to say, hey, your dad may be experiencing a lot of things that are difficult in the church, is what he told them, but there are people who love us and who appreciate them. But give a gift. But I'll tell you, the best pastors that I've heard, Christy, they'll tell you, what do you want to do? Like, they don't want a Starbucks gift card. They just want you to come to church and follow Jesus. That's what they want you to do. They want you to engage in the church and be a supportive member who is there and who is just all in, which I think is important. Well, Christy, you are starting a new podcast series exploring some of these stories and finding hurt and healing in that. So what do you hope to gain out of that? What are your expectations? What has your experience been like so far?
You know, unfortunately, so far, I've learned that religious people don't want to address that the little C church is getting it wrong in some areas. We've addressed that they're getting it right in a lot of areas, but we are getting it wrong in some areas. And I feel like I've poked a bear that's ready to eat me alive right now, and that can be intimidating at times. But I'm comforted, because in Matthew 23, the whole chapter, Jesus has a lot of very strong rebukes to this very damaging spirit. But ultimately, the goal, Jessica, of the series is to explore the often overlooked aspects of anxiety, trauma, emotional wounds that many individuals experience in their church community. So my husband and I feel called to stand in the gap for the weak and wounded sheep who've been damaged inside the four walls of the local church, and we want to advocate for them. We want to give their pains a voice and a safe place to land. I pray that God's people will do a better job of not minimizing people's pain, but instead giving them space to share and be heard and loved so they can eventually heal by the saving power of Jesus Christ. And I'm hoping that God's people and leaders would understand that when we prioritize protecting each other's image over accountability and walking in humility, huge problems arise. We cannot continue to sweep problems under the rug. And lastly, to explore the epidemic of fear and anxiety. And could it be defeated if our churches would commit as a top priority to making
disciples?
I believe
it could. Christy, I believe it could. Well, her new podcast series is called Resilience in the Pews, Tackling Anxiety and Church Wounds. And in light of all of this heaviness, let me just remind you of today's, this week's healthy habit, and that is to play with your family. Play together. Do something fun. So as you're driving home from work or wherever you are, just be resolved to do something fun with your family tonight. And I'll see you back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.